Hello, friends. Welcome to Unfiltered Noggin. On today's episode, I am going to walk you through a UK case about the Acid Bath Murderer, aka John Haigh. John Haigh was born on July 24th, 1904. He grew up in Wakefield, which is located in West Yorkshire, Northern England, to parents named John and Emily Haigh. His parents were members of the Plymouth Brethren, a conservative Christian sect, and he hated the fact that his parents were so strict, religiously strict. Haigh would later say that his upbringing had caused him to have recurring religious nightmares. Despite this, he was an excellent student who enjoyed playing the piano. He received a scholarship to Wakefield's Queen Elizabeth Grammar School and later became a choir boy at Wakefield Cathedral. He obtained his first job as an apprentice mechanic who, he would work as like an engineer there after he finished school, but he later quit the position because he didn't think it was a good fit for him. After a year leaving that position, he obtained a sales job at the insurance business, some insurance business company that was near, like close to where he lived. But he was quickly fired at the age of 21 since it was believed that he was stealing corporate money. On July 6th of 1934, Haigh married Beatrice Harrier. The relationship fell apart like many things in Haigh's life. While Haigh was in jail in 1934 for fraud, Betty gave birth to a baby girl the same year he was imprisoned, and the baby was immediately put up for adoption. Betty chose to leave Haigh, and that's when Haigh's parents really, like, completely disowned their son. In 1936, he left prison and decided to move to London to become a chauffeur for a wealthy man named William McSwan. During his employment, he supplemented his income by impersonating a solicitor and selling fraudulent shares. And this was going well for Mr. Haigh until the police found out and threw him back in jail for another 4 more years. During his imprisonment, he realized he messed up big time. It was the fact that he left all of his victims of fraud alive to accuse him. And if he killed his victims, the crimes wouldn't get reported. So basically, he's getting out of, like, what is it called? A no corpse, no conviction, type of thing. And so he became intrigued by Georges Alexandre Serret, a French murderer who used sulfuric acid to dispose of his victims. Haigh began experimenting with field mice, and he soon learned that all it took was 30 minutes for the field mice's bodies to dissolve in the acid. He was released from jail at the start of World War II, and you would think he would learn from his sentences and come out and try to start a new life. But no, him going in and out of jail only made his crimes worse. Shortly after that, he rented a basement space on 79 Gloucester Road, where he set up his workshop, which is basically where he is going to kill his victims and lure them in. Soon after beginning setting up his workshop death trap, he bumped into his former employer, William McSwan, at a gold pub in Kensington. McSwan was giving Haigh a rundown of his life, talking about how he's working for his parents, Donald and Amy McSwan, by collecting rent from their London properties. And Haigh started to become envious and jealous of McSwan's lifestyle because he wanted to be in William McSwan's position. Like, he wanted to be collecting rent for himself and not like his parents. Making, like, he wanted money. He wanted to make money and live that rich flashy lifestyle. So on the September 6, 1944, Haig invited McSwan over to his workshop. Once McSwan came over to Haig's workshop, Mr. Haig hit him on the head with a steel bar and put his body in a 40-gallon drum of sulfuric acid. Just 2 days later, the body has turned to sludge, and Mr. Haig, took the human sludge and poured it down a manhole, like a drainage pipe in his workshop. Since William was long gone at this point, Haig moved into William's property and started collecting the rent for himself and not collecting the rent for William's parents. When William's parents questioned their son's disappearance, Haig told them that he was hiding in Scotland to avoid being drafted to fight in the military since World War II was going on at this point. But when the war ended, the parents started to become more suspicious of their son's odd disappearance until Haig decided he was going to invite the McSwans over to his workshop on July 2nd, 1945. When Haig invited Donald and Amy to his workshop, he killed them both and added them to his sulfuric acid bath. At this point, Haig killed three people and disposed their body in acid. Haig Haig needed more money, so he became a gambler. It was not long until the money ran out and Haig started looking for his next victim. In 1947, he met a nice couple named Dr. Archibald Henderson and his wife, Rose, who were selling their home at the time. By the way, Haig ended up moving his workshop from Gloucester to Crowley, London, where he rented out a storehouse. Change of locations. When he moved into his new location, he actually bought a 240-gallon drums, and he got his sulfuric acid from Gloucester Road, where his old workshop was. So he did go back to the Gloucester shop. The couple and Haig started bonding over their love for music, and Haig would tell them all about his childhood and how he was a good piano player. Just trying to ease them up a bit and get to know them better so that the couple can tell Haig all about their renting properties. And Haig was acting as if he was a potential buyer for the properties. But when the war ended, the McSwans started to get more suspicious of their son's odd disappearance until Haig invited them over to his workshop on July 2nd, 1945. When Haig invited Donald and Amy to his workshop, he killed them both and added them to his sulfuric acid bath. At this point, he killed three people, he disposed their bodies in acid, and he went on to live off of Donald and Amy's estates for 2 years before stealing William's pensions and then selling the family's properties. Haig needed more money, and so he became a gambler. It was not long until the money ran out and Haig started looking for his next victim. In 1947, he met a nice couple named Dr. Archibald Henderson and his wife, Rose, who were selling their home at the time. By the way, Haig ended up moving his workshop from Gloucester, 79 Gloucester Road, to Crowley, London, where he rented out a storehouse. Change of locations. When he moved into his new location, he actually bought two 40-gallon drums and his sulfuric acid from Gloucester Road. So he went back to his old workshop place in Gloucester, and he just moved equipment and materials to the new location. The couple and Haig started bonding over their love for music, and Haig would tell them all about his childhood and how he was good at playing piano.
just trying to ease them up a bit and get to know them better so that the couple can tell Haig all about their renting properties. And Haig acted as if he was a potential buyer, but that wasn't the case at all. However, while Haig was invited over to the Henderson's complex to play piano for the party, Haig decided to take a tour of the property, the Henderson's flat complex property, whatever you want to call it, by himself, and he actually stole Mr. Archibald's revolver. On February 12, 1946, he drove Dr. Henderson to Crowley, where his workshop, his new workshop location is, and he shot the doctor in the head with the doctor's own revolver, 38 caliber revolver. He then lured the doctor's wife, Mrs. Henderson, to the workshop where he then later shot her from behind. He then dissolved their bodies in acid. The only difference this time was the heinous deed did not liberate all evidence, since Mr. Henderson's foot remained intact. But this didn't appear to bother Haig, so he ended up dumping the human sludge and the doctor's foot behind his new workshop, since there was no manhole at this location. Haig allegedly confessed to the authorities that he nicked blood from the couple's neck because he wanted to drink their blood. Haig took control of their estate and auctioned off all of their belongings, which totaled around 8,000 euros. Haig was an intelligent man. He was handsome, but he was also a manipulator. He persuaded Rose's brother that his sister and husband ran off to South Africa for an abortion, and that they're hiding out in South Africa because they don't want such news to break out in a conservative hometown. Haig was in debt at the start of 1949. He's been staying at the Onslow Court Hotel in London since he killed the Hendersons. The majority of people staying at the hotel were wealthy, elderly individuals. So since Haig wasn't near their age, a lot of women were attracted to him. And this is where he meets his final victim, 69-year-old Mrs. Olive Duran Deacon. Mrs. Olive's husband passed away, and since he passed away, all of his money went to Mrs. Olive, his wife. And since Olive was living in this hotel, she was getting bored. I mean, she's retired. So she came up with the concept of opening her own cosmetic store where she can sell acrylic nails to customers. And Haig was excited for her and wanted to help her grow her business. So Haig tells Mrs. Olive, you know what, I own a workshop. Why don't you come over to my workshop and we can get started on your business venture? And so Miss Olive, she's happy about it. She says, no problem. When Olive arrived to the workshop in Crowley, London, Haig shot her with Mr. Henderson's 38 caliber revolver, and then he proceeded to steal the woman's possessions, like her coat, for example, her lamb coat and a few jewelry. When he stole her possessions, her belongings, he brought this over to a pawn shop where he later sold all of her possessions, but he was expecting to get like a couple thousand dollars, like a couple hundred thousand dollars, since she was a luxurious person, like she was very, very wealthy. But that wasn't the case. And since he didn't get a lot of money off of her possessions, he started to fall behind on rent at the Onslow Hotel. And like he had done with the Hendersons, he nicked Olive's neck and filled his cup with her blood to fulfill his thirst. After fulfilling his thirst, he began to pick up her lifeless body and dissolved it in an oil barrel full of sulfuric acid. But here's the thing, Mrs. Olive's body didn't completely dissolve, and Haig noticed this as he was ready to dump her sludge in the back of his workshop property. But Haig didn't mind because he didn't have enough time to go back, take her bones, her foot, and dissolve it in the acid just to throw the pile, the sludge, the muck behind his property. So he didn't care. He just wanted to get it over with. Workers at the hotel started getting suspicious of why Olive didn't pay her rent and why she's not like showing up at the hotel. So they decided to file a police report. Now the police come to the hotel to investigate, and so the police were asking close friends of Olive's, you know, did you see her? Did she say anything to you? And this is when a close buddy of Olive named Constance Lane told authorities that Olive told her that she wanted to open a cosmetic business plan with Haig, and that she was going to be at Haig's workshop in Crawley, London. And so the detectives were like, okay, thank you for the information. And the detectives, the police authorities, they look into Haig's criminal background. And this is when they find that Haig has a lengthy criminal past, like fraud. This man was in and out of jail constantly. The detectives decide to go check Haig's workshop in Crawley, London. They busted in the door, you know, broke his door. And this is when they found Haig's murderous materials. They found two 40-gallon drums, the sulfuric acid bath, and a pile of human sludge behind the workshop. When the examiners examined the pile, they identified 28 pounds of human fats. Police found PPE equipment like gas masks because he was dealing with sulfuric acid. You know, you got to protect yourself. They found the gun that belonged to Dr. Archibald Henderson, the 38 caliber revolver. They found a few bones laying around and a part of the denture that belonged to Olive Deacon. In addition to their discovery, they found a briefcase with lots of papers, documents leading to the Henderson's family. Within the briefcase, they found a receipt from a dry cleaning service for a Persian lamb coat. And this coat belonged to Mrs. Olive Deacon. At this point, this was enough information for the police leading John to murdering Mrs. Olive Deacon. So on February 28, 1948, John Haig was brought into the police station for questioning. Although he didn't admit to the murders yet, he started to ask detectives strange questions like, what are the chances of getting released from Broadmoor, a hospital in Berkshire, England? The detective was like, again, I can't tell you that. And that's when John confessed to killing 6 victims and drinking their blood. Some sources said that he killed 3 more victims, in which I couldn't find any information on. Just to sum it up, it looks like he killed between 6 to 9 victims, allegedly. Well, we know 6 of them are dead, but the other 3, we don't really know. Trial comes around, and it's clear that Haig is only telling the police he drank the victim's blood to fake insanity. Many people believed this was real, that he drank blood, but others believed he was simply acting insanely so that he could plead for insanity. But we really don't know if he did drink the blood or not. However, throughout the trial, Haig pleaded not guilty to all allegations against him. He claimed that he was mentally ill and that he wasn't completely there when he murdered and dissolved his victim's body in sulfuric acid. Many people are on John Hague's side, saying that, you know, he wasn't there because he said that, while others didn't necessarily believe him. It's very clear that he did such crimes for money because he wanted that flashy lifestyle that he didn't have. He wanted money, but he didn't want to work for it. He would steal his victims' assets, property, possessions for money. It's just very clear that was his motive. On August 8th, 1949, he celebrated his last final supper with some brandy before being taken to the execution chamber, where he was later hanged at the age of 40 years old. This sums up the case of John Hague, aka the acid bath murderer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.